ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Sushi Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 24, the 61 Explanations of the Atmarama Verse. So we're on page 7. Srila Prabhupada, this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-39 was spoken by the gopis when they arrived near Krishna for the rasa dance on a full moon night. The attracted gopis were awestruck and they began to speak about how they came to Krishna to enjoy the rasa dance. 2:24-51-52, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The queens in Dwarka, headed by Rukmini, are also attracted to Krishna simply by hearing about his transcendental beauty and qualities. O most beautiful Krishna, I have heard about your transcendental qualities from others, and therefore all my bodily miseries are relieved. If someone sees your transcendental beauty, his eyes have attained everything profitable in life. O infallible one, I have become shameless after hearing of your qualities, and I have become attracted to you.
Maharaj?
Yes.
According to my notes, actually, we discussed that 2 days ago, according to what I have, till page 14.
Maybe I didn't move the, what do you call it? The,
yes.
The little thingies that show where we are. Okay.
And it is 224.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we were going to be the first 26 Atmaramas, right?
Yes.
Okay. you heard it was Rukmini's verse and then you're thinking, hey, what about the Brajvasis? Let's come on. Okay, verses 107 to 228, the first 26 Atmaramas. Then, okay. There are two kinds of worshippers on the path of philosophical speculation. Jnanamarg. One is called Brahma Upasaka, a worshipper of the impersonal Brahman, and the other is called Moksha Kangshi, one who desires liberation. Right? So someone who's worshipping Brahman, absorbed in Brahman, and one who wants liberation. Right? So one is focused more on the Brahman, one is more focused on getting out of the material world. There are three types of people who worship the impersonal Brahman, Brahma Upasaka. The first is the beginner, sadhaka. The second one is whose thoughts are absorbed in Brahman, Brahma Maya. And the third is one who is actually merged in the impersonal Brahman, Prapta Brahma Laya. Riti, verses 107 to 152 will describe the first six types of Atmaramas. These are worshippers on the Jnana Marg, divided into two, Brahma Upasaka and Moksha Akanksi, each with three subcategories, sadhaka, Brahma Maya, and Prapta Brahma Laya, right? So means each of them has those three levels, and so that makes six, right? And then, yeah, and then on the what do you call it? And for the, what do you call it? Moksha Akanksha, you have Mumukshu, Jivan Mukta, and Prapta Suru, like that. So it's that they use different language. In the category of the Brahma Upasaka, Prapta Brahma Laya will be further elaborated on in verses 109 to 112. Brahma Maya in verses 113 to 117 and Sadaka in verses 118 to 120. So you see it's very commonly shown. You start with the top, then you show the next one down and the next one down. because then you actually understand the principle that's there, and then you come down. Because we always look at it going up like this, then the tendencies we want to get there. But we start there, then you know that's what it is. Then when you start showing the qualities required, then you start seeing, oh, I'm down here. But when you start here, oh, that's basic. You know, no, this is the goal. But, you know, where do you sit? You know, so then that becomes the other aspect. Okay. Okay. Then in the category of the moksha akanshi, mumuksha will be described in verses 122 to 128, jivan mukta in verses 129 to 133, and prapta surup in 134 to 144. Thus, six types of worshippers on the Jnana Marga will be described. These six worship the Lord on the Brahman platform. So that's going to be six kinds of Atmaramas, right? So, because the point is that all Atmaramas are attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? He's so beautiful that all of them can be attracted by him and completely satisfied in being absorbed in him. So that becomes the specialty there. 224.109 to 111. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. One cannot attain liberation simply through philosophical speculation, devoid of devotional service. However, if one renders devotional service, he is automatically on the Brahman platform, Prapta Brahmalaya. Characteristically, one in devotional service is attracted away from the impersonal Brahman platform. He is offered a transcendental body to engage in Lord Krishna's service. When one gets a devotee's spiritual body, he can remember the transcendental qualities of Krishna. Simply by being attracted to Krishna's transcendental qualities, one becomes a pure devotee, engaged in his service. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is given the following summary of verses 107 to 111. Okay, so that means the previous verses and these verses. Transcendentalists on the path of philosophical speculation can be divided into two categories: the pure worshippers of impersonal Brahman and those who wish to merge into the existence of impersonal Brahman. When one is fully absorbed in the thought that one is not different from the absolute truth, one is said to be a worshipper of the impersonal Brahman. The impersonal worshippers of Brahman can again be divided into three categories: sadhakas, those who are nearing perfection, perfect execution of the process of Brahman realization; two, those who are fully absorbed in meditation on Brahman; and three, those who are on the Brahma-Bhuta platform and have no relationship with material existence. Even though the worshipper of impersonal Brahman can be highly advanced, he cannot attain liberation without discharging devotional service. Anyone who has realized himself as spirit soul can engage in devotional service. This is the verdict of the Bhagavad Gita, 1854. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. To attain the platform of pure devotional service, one has to become spiritually pure and attain the Brahma-Bhuta platform, which is beyond material anxiety and material discrimination. When one approaches pure devotional service, after realizing Brahman, one becomes attracted by pure devotional service. At such a time, by rendering devotional service, one gets a spiritual body with purified senses. Sarvopadi vinir muktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktirichate. When one's senses are pure, one can render loving service to Krishna. A pure devotee can only remember Krishna's transcendental qualities. Remembering them, he fully engages in the loving service of the Lord. Right? So, you see, is that these particular essential verses, then in their description, we're used to like this verse being used, basically just, you give up all these other upadis, you take up the devotional process, you know. So that aspect we're seeing. But we see here is how it's being used by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's showing, it means, of course it'll mean there, but he's also showing it on the other, because when you've given up all mundane concepts, that means you have no attachment to the material world, nothing that you're actually on that transcendental platform. That will be Sarvupadi Vinirmuktam, right? Then you're able to be fully engaged in Lord's service. And in doing so, you'll do so in a spiritual body with purified senses, right? So that it works for that end, for the Atmaramas, that's that. But it also works for, on our level, where you take up the sadhana, and by taking up the sadhana, then the body becomes spiritualized and the senses become purified. Right? So that's the interesting thing about these particular key verses like that, or about the Anyavilashita Shunyam. It goes all the way through. They don't just apply in, what do you call it? In just those, the beginning stages. So that's a lot of times, much of the problem that comes up is that we're thinking that, you know, all this is just the sadhana, then what's that beyond? What's that more advanced platform? What's that more advanced, that special aspect? And then you see is, no, it's already describing that special aspect. And that aspect is so special that it has an effect on our lives, even right here, right? So that aspect is important to appreciate, that if you're dealing with, if you're dealing with the pure devotional service, then you're already dealing with all these elements are there. It's not that they're only there in this special kind of thing in that. This is the bogusness that is trying to be established by the Sahajiyas and others. When in actuality, no, it's already a perfect situation. We just have to keep at it until we're just always absorbed in Krishna, because that's the whole point. You're absorbed in Krishna, you're on the transcendental platform. You're not absorbed in Krishna, you're not on the transcendental platform. So then it's just a matter of wanting to see wanting to be established in Krishna consciousness by being absorbed in the Lord. So does this make sense? So it's still the fundament is still the same, you know, simple, straightforward feature. It's just that you get the aspect that Mataji's gone sideways. And so the same feature, but you can get more and more into details like that. That's the aspect. You can get more and more details because there's unlimited detail. That's the whole point. Ananta Sesh, he's talking all these nice things, and it goes more and more Okay. Who's speaking?
Hari Bol Maharaj, Haradharani Taidas.
Ah. Okay.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Here I don't have good internet, and then so I cannot open my video.
Aha.
Maharaj, in the standard books.
Right.
There you go. In the Sandarbhas, then stages of liberation. So the first stage then is the Sayuja, which is temporary liberation. First the Salo.
Okay.
So the Lord, then Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's clear?
Well, we got Sayuja Mukti, which is temporary, then Salokya.
Salokya.
the Lord, and that was all we heard.
The qualities, same qualities. Then we have same qualities. Same qualities of the Lord, then the same opulences, and finally the Samipya, which you have that relation. So that Samipya is the stage where is discussed generally in and always act in that relationship. So then the Preeti is that stage where that relationship is focused.
So it's focusation.
The focus.
We're just harassing.
The situation of
the. Oh, the situation. Okay. Yeah. No. It means it's like only every third or fourth word. You know, so whenever you're saying that essential word, then according to the law of the internet or the phone companies, that word has to not be there. Like if somebody's going, you know, hello, hello, can you hear? Yeah, okay, yeah, I can hear you now. So then we'll meet at, and it'll go out. And then you go, hello, 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 hey, you hear? You can hear me? Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, 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 so then we'll meet at, out. And it'll just do that all day. All the other words you can hear, but that one thing with the time or the place, or that without that you can't function, that's the one word that won't be there. So I think that there's guys that sit there, you know, and sit there and do that. You know, they go, oh, okay, here it comes. Okay, you know, and then they sit there and laugh and drink their tea and, you know, stuff like that.
Sorry, Maharaj, I cannot.
Yeah, no, so that's the weak point of this, because they say it's, oh yeah, it's great, you can use this, but then when everybody uses it, then they don't have enough bandwidth. So what to do? And even if they increase the bandwidth, then everybody goes into 247K, you know, they want to be able to see the hair on the eyeballs of somebody, you know, so then, yeah, you'll never be able to keep up. Okay, so you're saying then basically is you have the means the temporary, the Sayuja, then you're going up through the other ones, the Salokya, what do you call it? What is it? Sharshti and Sarupya. And those will be that you're there in, it's more about this, you're saying it's the situation in which then they will render their particular service to the Lord. But then, what is it? Samipya, is that the one you're saying? Then that means an associate. So that's where then you can get into the dynamic interactions that Rupa Goswami is talking about in Nectar Devotion.
Yes, Maharaj, that's it.
Okay. That's interesting. So it actually goes up. That's very interesting. Okay. So, yeah, so then we're trying to bring everyone to that level. So when we get to that level, we see. So if all Atmarama is starting from the person from Sayuja, from there they can go, they can all be attracted. So let alone those who are in these personal relationships. 224.112. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, even a liberated soul merged in the impersonal Brahman effulgence is attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. He thus installs a deity and renders the Lord's service. Srila Prabhupada, highly elevated Mayavadi sannyasis sometimes worship the Radha Krishna deity and discuss the pastimes of the Lord. But their purpose is not elevation to Goloka Vrindavan. They want to merge into the Lord's effulgence. This statement is quoted from Shankaracharya's commentary on the Upanishad known as Nisringa Tapani. Okay. Yeah, so Lord Chaitanya has quoted that because it's just so attractive because Shankaracharya wrote a book on the attractive features and pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It's a small book, but it's still quite, you know, it's got quite a, I can't remember how many shlokas it has. 80 or 100 or something like that. It's got quite a lot of shlokas. And so then the interesting thing comes down is that we asked the Mayavadis about that. And they said, they agreed, yes, Shankaracharya did write this work. But then they're asking, why would he? But the point he's making is that Radha and Krishna are so attractive that even the liberated souls would want to be absorbed in remembering and chanting their pastimes. But he was meaning it that you should naturally come to that platform and be absorbed in that way. While nowadays they just use it as a platform of impersonal meditation. You know, that you can't meditate on nothing, so therefore you meditate on something. So he's indicating actually the higher principle, but they're not necessarily catching it. You know, that was the whole point. They're bewildered Buddhists, so what do you want? You know? 224, 113 to 117. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, although Sukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras were always absorbed in the thought of impersonal Brahman, Brahma Maya, and were thus Brahmavadis, they were nonetheless attracted by the transcendental pastimes and qualities of Krishna. Therefore, they later became devotees of Krishna. The minds of the four Kumaras were attracted by the aroma of the flowers offered to Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Being thus attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna, they engaged in pure devotional service. Quote, when the breeze carrying the aroma of the tulsi leaves and saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead entered through the nostrils into the hearts of those sages, the Kumaras, they experienced a change in both body and mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Footnote 25. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:20-43. By the mercy of Srila Vyas, Sukadeva Goswami was attracted by the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Being thus attracted by Krishna's transcendental qualities, he also became a devotee and engaged in the service. Quote, being very much attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, the mind of Srila Sukadeva Goswami was agitated by Krishna consciousness. He therefore began to study Srimad Bhagavatam by the grace of his father. Footnote 26. This is a quotation of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.11. 2.24.118-120. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, from their very birth, the nine great mystic yogis, yogendras, were impersonal philosophers of the absolute truth, sadhaka. But because they heard about Lord Krishna's qualities from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the great sage Narada, they also became Krishna's devotees. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a full description of the devotional service of the nine yogendras, who rendered devotional service because they were attracted by the Lord's transcendental qualities. Quote, the nine yogendras entered Lord Brahma's association and heard from him the real meaning of the topmost Vedic literatures, the Upanishads. Although the yogendras were already conversant in Vedic knowledge, they became very jubilant in Krishna consciousness. Just by listening to Brahma, thus they wanted to enter Dwarka, the abode of Lord Krishna. In this way, they finally achieved the place known as Ranga Kshetra. Footnote 27. This is a quotation from the Maha Upanishad. 220. So we've shown, yes.
The nine yogendras, they are one of the 100 sons of Lord Rishabdev, correct?
Yes. They're the nine that became Paramahamsas.
That's right.
Then I think 11 became Kshatriyas.
Yes.
And the other 80 became Brahmanas.
Yes. So my question is, wouldn't they achieve the platform of pure bhakti just in association with Maharaj Rishabdev?
Well, what I mentioned before is that without devotional service, you cannot get to these higher platforms. Okay. You cannot get to the liberated platform. See, as those persons who are, how do I say? Because from this we can tell is that the Maya bodies actually don't really get anywhere. Because the ones that are being quoted here as sadhakas and Brahma Maya and what was the other one? The Brahma Maya and what was the other one? And the and those who are on the platform. On the that top platform. That was the Prapta Brahmalaya. So you can only get there by devotional service. There is devotional service is the only thing that makes anything work. You know, there's an idea that no, you can do whatever you want, you get results. But you see people work hard, don't get results, work hard, get small results, and things like that. But we see from before, the scriptures are talking about personalities, that they are getting these immense results because they are absorbed in devotional service. You see in the Bhagavatam, all these personalities, they're all absorbed in devotional service. And so then they can attain any position they want. That's why then the Bhagavatam makes that point, is that whether you have all desires, no desires, or you want yoga facilities or whatever it is, it's only by devotional service that you can get whatever it is that you're looking for. That's the only process. There isn't another process. Now, because the Vedic system, you see, is always going to have worship in it. Even you, like we see is, I think it's in, I don't remember which canto it is, but maybe it's Indra or Prita Maharaj does a big, big yajna. And then Lord Vishnu comes down on Garuda with eight arms. You know, there's pastimes like that. So there's always going to be, even though there is, it may be a standard karma kanda yajna, but you still have to worship Vishnu, just like even you worship the demigods, you have to worship Vishnu Shaliram first.
Yes.
Then only then you can offer to them. So all these processes, you have to do devotional service. And so then in this way, they're absorbed. Because the Kumaras, if they're, you know, Brahma Maya, they're on that second platform where they're always absorbed in Brahman, but they're going to see Lord Vishnu. Right, but they're not devotees at this point. They're just absorbed in Brahman, but they're going to see the supreme Brahman because he's the most attractive. Then when they go there and personally interact, then they become devotees. So that's does that make some sense?
Yeah, because when you say devotional service, we have the nine processes and one of them is hearing, and the nine yogendras. Yes. They did engage in hearing.
Yes.
Their father was not just he was a Paramahansa, but he was a Shaktivishnu.
Yes. So we see they became devotees because by that association, they might have been more absorbed. Just like you might see a devotee gets more worried about, you know, not doing anything that will, you know, give bad karma, give reactions, how to become purified, how to become freed from material entanglement. They may focus more on that, but they're still, you know, it's about devotional service.
Yes.
So you can get absorbed in these things very much, especially when you're in these other ages where, you know, they can completely focus on something, you know, not like us who, you know, we're so easily distracted. No?
Yes.
So it's all there. And so that's the whole point. There isn't anything else other than devotional service. I mean, even if you don't see the Lord, you're only seeing some aspect of his energies. You don't connect those energies back to the Lord. You just see them for what the gross matter that they are. And you think that and you're attracted to it, even though it's Krishna and his energy and Krishna It's his potency that makes it attractive, right? So as spirit souls, we can't be attracted by unconscious matter. We're only attracted by conscious. So we're attracted to the features of Krishna within all the dead matter. And so therefore, if we do it, we have to dedicate ourselves. Like generally, let's say we're telling, you know, a story of someone in who was successful, then there's always that aspect where at some point, you know, they became attracted to something, they knew this was their calling, but then you always have that they were dedicated to their work, they were devoted to their work or their endeavor or their knowledge or whatever it is that they were trying to do. And so that means then they have to actually have that kind of mood. So that's why it's so detrimental when you have elements where, you know, people don't have to work. No, you just be yourself. No, be true to yourself. And who's the self here? The body, and then body is not going to give anything on its own. It's only when you're using it in an endeavor with good qualities that you're going to get something of benefit. So we see is that these modern philosophies that make it look like it's about the individual are actually very destructive to the individual. They don't know the science. They don't know what they're dealing with. And so therefore, then they're going to have a lot of problems from all this.
Right.
You know, even though, because it's all made up, their whole ideas about everything, social structure, what it should be, oh, this would be ideal. And, you know, all these things like that, you know, and so they just make it up and do whatever they like, because it just gets done whatever you want to get done. You know, does that make sense?
Yes, I understand. Thank you.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of what level it is, but the higher you want to go, then the more it actually has to have a proper devotional element to it. Like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Chapter 24, 121. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Those who wish to merge into the impersonal Brahman, moksha akanshi, are also divided into three categories. Those desiring to be liberated, mumukshu, those already liberated, jivan mukta, and those who have realized Brahman, prapta swarupa. Vriti, as mentioned before, mumukshu will be further described in verses 122 to 128, Jivan Mukta in verses 129 to 133, and Prapta Sarupa in verses 134 to 144. 224, 122 to 123. So this will be the beginning where we start to describe the Mumukshus. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. There are many people within this material world who desire liberation, Mumukshu. And for this purpose, they render devotional service to Lord Krishna. Those who want to be relieved from the material clutches give up the worship of the various demigods who have fearful bodily features. Okay, this is a quote. Such peaceful devotees who are not envious of the demigods worship the different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, this is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.26. Those who actually want the highest perfection worship Lord Vishnu in his different incarnations. Those who are attracted to the materialistic way of life, who are always agitated and full of anxiety, worship demigods who appear fierce, demigods like Goddess Kali and Kala Bhairava, Rudra. The devotees of Krishna, however, do not envy the demigods or their worshipers, but peacefully render devotional service to the incarnations of Narayan instead. So they're worshiping Vishnu, but they're not envious towards the demigods like that. Otherwise, then, you know, there'll be some material tint that is there if that kind of attitude remains. So we see is that they are worshiping the Lord. They don't have any bad feelings towards the demigods because the demigods are serving Krishna, nor towards those individuals because they're technically supposed to be, they are servants of Krishna. They just may not be acting in that capacity. And so therefore, then, you know, they're going to deal. Now, whether they're someone who can be interested in Krishna consciousness, then they'll give association. or if they're inimical towards Krishna consciousness, then they may avoid their association. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, if those who are attached to demigod worship fortunately associate with the devotees, their dormant devotional service and appreciation of the Lord's qualities gradually awaken. In this way, they also engage in Krishna's devotional service and give up the desire for liberation and the desire to merge into the existence of the impersonal mind. Right, so they might be worshiping the demigods and all this, but they're having the idea for liberation. They also want to move on. So, yeah. So the Vedic system can catch everybody. It's got some way to catch, you know, everybody on whatever that they're trying to do. That's the perfection of the system, is that all the kind, it means all the variety of mentalities, if they're willing to follow the Vedic literature, then, you know, all the way from those in the mode of ignorance up to goodness, and then we see from the devotional up to pure goodness. So all the whole range and any combination that's there, then they're able to be engaged nicely. And so that's why you have to have some common position, since everybody has all these different goals, but you have to have some kind of structure that everybody can relate to and understand their position in that structure and how to deal with everybody else, right? Because social dealings means you know who you are, you know who someone else is, and so you can interact. It's only the Vedic system actually shows that. It's the only universal system that there is. All other systems, they may show something within, as long as you are within a category of that they consider of value. And if you're outside of it, then you don't have any position on how to deal. In the Vedic system, people that have different goals and all this, they all have some common ground because they all follow the Vedic literature as evidence. They all have some spiritual authority. They have some practice. You know, they have some goal that is mentioned in the Shastras. And so in that way, there's common ground, even though they, you know, how they go about or this and that, depending on how much you get into the externals, then there'll be a difference. But otherwise, then things socially can go very properly. So you have one socialist, because most everybody, when they're talking about everyone being equal, everybody being friends with each other, everybody being kind, it's all in the social platform. And so therefore the Vedic system socially allows everybody to have some position to work together. Like you see Narad Muni, you know, advanced pure devotee talking with Maharaj Prachina Barhishat, a completely gross karmakandi, right? But they have common ground. You know, you have the Brajvasis and you have the Dwarkavasis and Kurukshetra, but they have common ground because of the Vedic culture, right? So it doesn't matter where they're from, what the background, the four Kumaras, you know, like that, the Lord Shiva, you know, Narad Muni, but they all can sit there and converse together because of the common structure. Like that. So that's how you'll see is all these different personalities, so many different mentalities and levels. And these are all people that we were familiar with. And then so all the different levels are there. We just think that, you know, they're all basically, you know, a few levels or this or that, but there's so many details that are there. And that's the beauty of the culture, is that the principles are being the same. Therefore, it's only when you get into details, then the detail will be according to that particular personality and the modes that they're under, the particular goals they want, everything like that, then you'll find some slight difference in detail. But the principles always go back because it's all based off of Krishna. So everyone's dealing with Krishna, whether they know it or not. Therefore, they're going to be following the same rules. It's not that it's something else. Okay, the devotees are this and the others are completely different. If you only see the external, then yes, you'll see it's different rules. But if you see the primary feature, then you'll see is actually there's not. That's how Prabhupada would look at, you know, contemporary religions, and that basis is supposed to be to develop love for God. So that principle, you can talk and there's no problem. You can explain that and how that works and the importance of it and pure devotional service and that. And basically, there's no complaint. If you get into some details, then they might have their different ideas, you know. But other than that, then the principal elements are the same. Like that. Did we do 224 or 124? No. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. didn't we just do that? I thought we did. Okay, yeah. Okay, if those who are attached to demigod worship fortunately associate with the devotees, because that's why you have the common culture, then they have the opportunity. So that means the karmis can get the association of devotees, the jnanis can get association of devotees, the yogis can get association of the devotees. Then they can move forward like that. Their dormant devotional service and appreciation of the Lord's qualities gradually awaken. In this way, they also engage in Krishna's devotional service and give up the desire for liberation and the desire to merge into the existence of the personal Brahman. So when they take up devotional service, then whatever needs to be adjusted is adjusted, but the lifestyle basically stays the same. Like that. You know, if you need, there are ways to make adjustment, but they're all part of the system. Like that. Srila Prabhupada. The four Kumaras, Chachushana, Sugadeva Goswami, and the nine Yogendras were absorbed in Brahman realization, and how they became devotees is described herein. Right? The four Kumaras met, you know, heard, smelled the Tulsi. The Sukadeva Goswami heard from his father, and Yogendras, they heard from Lord Brahma, right? There are three kinds of impersonalists. The Mumukshus, those desiring liberation, the Jivan Muktas, those liberated in this life, and the Prapta Surupas, those merged in Brahman realization. All three types of jnanis are called Mokshakangshis, those desiring liberation. By association with devotees, such people give up the mumukshu principle and render devotional service. The real cause for this change is the association of devotees. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to attract all types of men, even those who desire things other than the Lord's devotional service. Through the association of devotees, they gradually begin to render devotional service. So that's the idea of having the programs where everybody can come and visit and this, and take prasad. They'll come and associate, and they don't have any idea. It's just like, you hear devotees saying that it's Sunday and their friend says, hey, let's go to the Krishna temple. They give out free prasad, food, So they go there, it's nice food, it's Indian food, it's exotic. So they go and eat. And that's just because one is they don't have necessarily, have made any plans for eating. Two, then it's free. They don't have to buy it, So then they go. If you say, well, I have to drive across town, you got to drive across town anyway to get to some place where you want to eat. So you don't think about that. So then they associate with the devotees. And we see so many of those who would come, then they would get serious about Krishna consciousness. And so then it becomes very special. 224, 125 to 128. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. A great learned devotee, although there are many faults in this material world, there is one good opportunity, the association with devotees. Such association brings about great happiness. Due to this good quality, our strong desire to achieve liberation by merging the Brahman effulgence, Mumuksha, has become weakened. Footnote 28. This is a quotation from the Hari Bhakti Shudodai. Right? So somebody's devotee is making this point, is that even though they were a Mumukshu, they gave up this desire by the association of devotees. So in this world, there's unlimited faults. And so that someone finds a fault, then that's not strange. But we see is that there's one great glory, and that's the association of the Vaishnavas. So if you have that association, then all other perfections can be obtained. Simply by meeting Krishna or receiving Krishna's special favor, one can give up the desire for liberation. Being attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna, one can engage in his service. Quote, in this Dwarka Dham, I am being attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is personified spiritual bliss. Simply by seeing him, I am feeling great happiness. Oh, I have wasted so much time trying to become self-realized through impersonal cultivation. This is a cause for lamentation. Footnote 29. This verse is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.1.34. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. There are many people who are liberated even in this lifetime, Jivan Mukta. Some are liberated by desiring, discharging devotional service, Bhakti-ye, and others are liberated through the philosophical speculative process, Jnana. Those who are liberated by devotional service become more and more attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna. Thus, they engage in his service. Those who are liberated by the speculative process eventually fall down again due to offensive activity. Quote, O lotus-eyed one, those who think they are liberated in this life but are without devotional service to you are of impure intelligence. Although they accept severe austerities and penances and rise to the spiritual position, to impersonal Brahman realization, they fall down again because they neglect to worship your lotus feet. Footnote 30. This quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. One who is thus, one who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. 31. This quotation from the Bhagavad Gita 18.54. Although I was worshipped by those on the path of monism and initiated into self-realization through the yoga system, I have nonetheless been forcibly turned into a maidservant by some cunning boy who is always joking with the gopis. Footnote 32. This is a verse written by Bilva Mangal Thakur. Right, so this is then those who are Jivan Mukta, who are liberated even in this life. Right? What we can see is that if it's not by a devotional service, it is temporary, they will fall down. If it's through devotional service, means then they take up devotional service with commitment rather than it just it's a anga of their particular process. Then they can actually remain on that liberated platform. And we see is that they naturally move forward towards the Lord. 224, 134 to 144. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. One who has attained his constitutional position, Prapta Sarup, by the strength of devotional service, attains a transcendental body even in this lifetime. Being attracted by Lord Krishna's transcendental qualities, he fully engages in service at his lotus feet. So one can attain one's spiritual form even while still within this body. But the point is here that Lord Chaitanya is mentioning, he fully engages in service at Krishna's lotus feet. So they're talking about the service they're rendering and that attraction and attachment to Krishna. That's the absorption. But if you're talking about all kinds of sadhanas that you're going to do and this and that and, you know, all these things, one may have to review whether one's actually on this platform of Prapta Sarup. Of course, they're going to want to feel that they are, but in actuality, there's a good chance they're not.
Maharaj, it seems in the description of all these verses that the person who follows the Vedic tradition, they have less envy or less competition between each other. Everybody has his own space, place, more or less. And yes. they can interact in a more goodness way.
Yes, yes. I mean, they can be problems, but you see is that they generally, it's still generally culturally workable.
Yes.
Like you see is that whenever even something as antagonistic as the Pandavas and Duryodhana.
Yes.
But you see is that they still follow the etiquettes.
Yes.
You know? Like that. And so then you have there, and you know, people are there and discussing. And so that's it. That's the advantage. That's why it's recommended, simply because that it is the culture of the spiritual world. Because here you may have different levels of consciousness and all that. Well, in the spiritual world, you only have one level of consciousness, mm-hmm. right? It'll be Anandamaya. But then within Anandamaya, you're going to have the variety. So you have to have a system that will hold all those together, so that there's because the common point is Krishna. Yes. And so there needs to be some way that then they can interact with each other as Krishna is the common point. So it's just natural as situational that you're going to have the Varnashram system is going to be there, because yes. it's from the spiritual world, it's not from here. But people knowing that it's a better system, like the demons, knowing it, being intelligent enough to know it's a better system, then they'll follow that. But only in as much as it fulfills their sense gratification, their position for authority and these kind of things. You know what I'm saying? They're not following it actually for the purpose of self-realization and that. That's why it's called, they're called asuras, and that they're not following. But if you see in the culture, they're falling. There's those who are really rough and ready who are not necessarily. But even then, they follow what parts of it that they want. Like you see, you know, Hidimba and Hidimbi. You know, there's some etiquette there. You know, yes. He's the elder brother. She's the younger sister. And so then, you know, there's some etiquette there. But at the same, you know, it's amongst themselves, you know.
Which means there are less people who are crazy.
Yes, yes. Or even they're crazy, they're workable. You know what I'm saying? I forget what the term is for that, but it just means that function, like they're functioning crazy. Because in the material world, everybody's crazy, but it's just, it's functionable. You know, they can interact with each other and it can work. You know, that's the position. All the, for the others, then if they don't fall, it's very difficult. So for us, it's not a goal. That's why, you know, it's not one of the processes of devotional service. It's just where you would situate yourself. That's all. Because you're going to have to, human life means you restrict yourself and follow a certain etiquette. And so then the Vedic system just very nicely establishes that. So we see here is that all these different kinds of atmaramas that we're talking about, they're all functioning within one system.
Yes.
And they can all function there. So therefore, all the materialists can function together. All those who are desiring, you know, on the transcendental path, they can all work together. And those, therefore, in the spiritual world, they can all work together. Because the point is, it's just a common ground in which everybody can serve Krishna. You know, who is going to do what and everything like this. And so they don't do, you don't see the gopis, you know, it's kind of like, you know, who cares? You know, we love Krishna. We're the topmost. So what do we care if it freaks everybody else out? They never do that. They always work around. They never bother. So when they're with Mother Yashoda, they're following the etiquette there. When the cowherd boys, they follow that etiquette. You know, so all these different things, they're just there, but that's just human life.
Yes.
And especially in Krishna's human pastimes, they follow all that. But it's not about the benefits you get from that. It's about serving Krishna, to just please Krishna. And then this is the structure that you use. Yes. So when it's taken as a goal or a methodology, all these other things, then that's where the problem starts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, let's say you want to cook. Okay, you want to cook lunch. Where do you situate yourself?
The kitchen.
in the kitchen, right? Now, wouldn't it be better? I mean, why I have to go to the kitchen? You know, that's so archaic. You know, I mean, why do we have to follow these old traditions? You know, I'm from the living room who sits on the couch. Why can't I sit on the couch? And, you know, why do you have to say that I have to go to the kitchen? Why are we such smartas and everything like that? Why can't I just sit here?
But you in can. India, in India, as we can transport the gas. Transport the gas.
That's there. But then you won't want to make a mess there. So unless you can just call up the pizza guy and he'll deliver, then you can sit there. But then that's as far as you get. So the point is, you go into the kitchen. If you say people go in the kitchen to cook, no one will complain. Oh, that's ritualistic. Oh, that's, you know, because they see how it, that's how the cooking works. So the social system is just, it's just varnashram. That's all. But the point is it's not devotional service, that you take whatever position you're in and use it in Krishna's service. That becomes devotional service. But it's not that the varnashram itself is devotional service.
Yes, yes.
Like that. That I'm doing this to please Krishna. That be just like cooking. Cooking is cooking. But when I do cooking to please Krishna, that's where it becomes devotional service. Mm. Does that make sense? But it's not cooking that's devotional service. It's devotional service that's devotional service. So that's why it says give up everything and just engage in devotional service. But the point is devotional service is that attitude of doing things for Krishna. And the mechanics of it, that's all done, that's all the samvit and sandini potences. You know, that you're using the facility, you know, with your willpower to do something. But when you willpower to do something for Krishna, that's all. So it's just the situation that you function in. Because time, place, and circumstance means is that. Does that make sense? Then there's going to be the will and then the intent. Is that it?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Okay, being attracted by Lord Krishna's transcendental qualities, he fully engages in service at his lotus feet. Quote, the living entities and other potencies merge into Mahavishnu as the Lord lies down and winds up, destroys the cause of manifestation. Liberation means being situated in one's eternal, original form after giving up the changeable, gross, and subtle bodies. So here's giving a definition of liberation. That's why then Sayuja is a temporary liberation. You can't stay there. Either from there have to move, it means if move forward into the spiritual world or move back into the material world. Right? So those who have been killed by Krishna, then they can remember Krishna when they start to think about form and action and those kind of things, experience. Then being in a pure state, they're naturally going to remember the Lord. And now that they're purified, there's no material motives and all that, then they can move forward into devotional service because they've been killed, they've been purified. So then they can go to Vaikuntha, right? Or if they haven't been killed by the Lord and that, or haven't gotten that association of pure Vaishnavas, they can merge into the Brahman effulgence, but then at some point, they're going to want to do activity again, but then they are the only known material. They will fall back down. That's why it's called temporary. And so basically, most everybody's falling down, right? Only those who are killed by the Lord. Does that make sense? That's why you see it says they get liberated, but then in another verse, it talks about them in Vaikuntha. Because they'll go to that liberated position and then from there move forward into devotional service. So, but the acharyas point out it's not a process of sadhana that we should take up. I'll become a big demon, and then Krishna will kill me in that way, then I'll go back to God. Yeah, you know. So yeah, it's not recommended. By opposing Krishna consciousness, one becomes conditioned and fearful due to the influence of Maya. By executing devotional service faithfully, one is liberated from Maya. Quote, when the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, he is overpowered by fear. Because he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy, his conception of life is reversed, right? So that means on the material platform, everything's backwards. You know, within that backwardsness, then they might try to show progression and what's higher and what's lower and everything like that. But that is, it's still only by, the reflection of the spiritual world, like the tree. You have it, it's upside down, it's reversed. You know, but you may talk about, this is higher, but the point is it's farther away from Krishna. You know, just like we'll think the intellectuals and the academics or the particular people are successful in the world and really enjoying themselves with all the facility, they tend to be going away from Krishna rather than those who are more detached, more renounced, have good qualities and all that, that's closer to. So when people are more interested in religion, then it would be a little bit more about the good qualities. Now it's more about the, you know, the material enjoyment position. So it's just going to be backwards. Reversed, as it said. In other words, instead of becoming the eternal servant of Krishna, it becomes Krishna's competitor. This is called Viparyayo Smitihi. To nullify this mistake, one who is actually learned and advanced worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master, worshipable the deity and the source of life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. 34. This is a verse quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37. Right. So when he opposes Krishna consciousness, that's why we always have to be careful that we're not opposing Krishna consciousness. Right. So if there's things that are recommended, things like that, we don't oppose them. It may not be for us, but we don't oppose it. You know, so then that will become difficulties for in our service because if they're, you know, It, quote, this divine nature of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Footnote 35. One does not attain liberation without rendering devotional service. Liberation is attained only by devotional service. So this is Lord Chaitanya. He's making that point. So it just means that's the way it is. Right? Liberation is attained. Okay. Quote, my dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the only auspicious path. If one gives it up simply for speculative knowledge or the understanding that these living beings are spirit souls and the material world is false, he undergoes a great deal of trouble. Because as it mentioned before, that the liberation means then attaining, liberation means being situated in one's eternal original form after giving up the changeable gross and subtle bodies. That's the definition of liberation. So that there's an emphasis on the liberation, sayuja. That's not actually real liberation because it's temporary. And as we mentioned, you know, it says here real, is that anything temporary is not considered real, right? It's not that it doesn't exist, but for the benefit of the living entity, it's not real because with time, it will be lost, you know? So the idea is that then one is going to without the devotional service, you can't situate yourself in real liberation. If you just use the speculative process and renounce the world, it'll be great trouble because you don't have the attractive feature of Krishna to draw you forward. You have to have your negative inclination towards the material world to drive you forward. And so then that doesn't have as much taste. It has to be based on envy and those things. And so that's why you see that that aspect of envy is the basis. The karmi, it's about I'm the enjoyer, and the jnani, it's about I'm the controller. Right? So one's envy, one's attachment. He only gains troublesome and inauspicious activities. His actions are like beating a husk that is already devoid of rice. His labor becomes fruitless. Footnote 36. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4. O lotus-eyed one, those who think they are liberated in this life but are without devotional service to you are of impure intelligence. Although they accept severe austerities and penances and rise to the spiritual position to impersonal Brahman realization, they fall down again because of their neglect to worship your lotus feet. Footnote 37. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. If one simply maintains an official position in the four varnas and ashrams, but does not worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he falls down from his puffed up position into a hellish condition. Footnote 38. When one is actually liberated by executing devotional service, he always engages in the transcendent loving service of the Lord. Even a liberated soul merged in the impersonal Brahman effulgence is attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. He thus installs a deity and renders the Lord service. Footnote 39. Here's a quotation from Shankaracharya's commentary on the Nrisimhatapani Upanishad. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya's quoted that twice now, because it's the same position for those who have situated themselves transcendentally, that until you get your spiritual form based on devotional service, then you're not actually liberated. Right? So here we see is that they may come to this transcendental position, but then even they are attracted to the pastimes of Krishna and take up worship of Krishna. Right? Like that. Those, you know, it means those who are honest are going to do that properly. Those who aren't, then they're going to try to say that, oh, you know, because you can't meditate on anything, you know, you have to do this sadhana, that this set an example and all that. So they're just cheating, basically. 224.145. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, these six kind of atmaramas engage in the loving service of Krishna. The varieties of service are indicated by adding cha, and they also bear the meaning of api, indeed. Srila Prabhupada, there are six kinds of atmaramas. The neophyte student, sadhaka, one who is absorbed in Brahman realization, Brahma Maya, one who has already attained the Brahman position, prapta Brahma Laya. One who desires to be liberated, mumukshu, one who is liberated even in this life, jivan mukta, and one who is self-realized, prapta swarupa. Right? And so then when he adds the cha, he's saying that means devotional service and api, indeed. So indeed, only by devotional service, then these all, they all are attracted to the Lord because that's the only way they can come to their liberated position. 224.146-153. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The six kinds of atmaramas render devotional service to Krishna without ulterior motives. The words munayaha and santaha indicate those who are very much attached to meditating upon Krishna. The word nirgunanta means without ignorance and devoid of rules and regulations. It means so they're doing it because they want to. That's why they're doing it. Whichever meaning fits may be used, may be applied. The use of the word cha in different places produces different meanings. Over and above them, there's another meaning that is very important. Although the words atmaramas cha would be repeated six times, simply by adding the word cha, five atmaramas are deleted. Because otherwise, since you're talking about six kinds of atmaramas, then you don't say atmaramas, 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 atmaramas. You just say atmaramas cha. So then that means the atmaram, all that, you know, all, you know, also, you know, like that, all the, you know, the, and all, you know, everybody else. Therefore, there's no need to repeat the word atmarama. one is sufficient, and that one indicates six persons. Quote, of words having the same form and case, termination, the last one is the only one retained. For example, the word Ramaha is used to stand for Ramascha, 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 etc. Footnote 40. This is a quotation from Panini Sutra 1.2.64. So if they do repeat it, that means they want to give it that special, you know, the others you're repeating it just because you're trying to get all the different positions. But if they are repeating it because they want to bring emphasis, you know, that's what Jaimini points out. So therefore, when you have the famous verse, Hariyar Nama, Hariyar Nama, Hariyar Nama, Eva Kevalam, because you want to bring emphasis to that. We see Krishna does that in the Gita, yo, yo, yum, yum, like this. He gives emphasis because you only have to say it once, you know, and then everything in that list is counted. But if you do repeat it, so here then it once is it's fine, it's standard. That's the way it's done. By the aggregate use of the word cha, it is indicated all the Atmaramas and saints serve and worship Krishna. Api added to the word nirgrantha is used for exposition. Thus I've tried to clarify seven meanings of the Atmaram verse. Riti. This last verse describes a seventh Atmarama known as a Nirgrantha Muni, or a completely liberated saint. This is further clarified in the purport to verse 63. Right, so that means those six that were there, and then the completely liberated saint. You know, so then that is the seventh. 224, 154 to 155. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The yogi who worships the supersoul within himself is also called Atmarama. And there are two types of Atmarama yogis. The two types of Atmarama yogis are called Sagarbha and Nirgarbha. Each of these is divided into three. Therefore, there are six types of worshipers of the supersoul, right, of the yogi. So you see you have the six main ones of the impersonalists, you know, with that seventh. And then you have the six worshippers of Paramatma. Srila Prabhupada. The word Sagarbha Yogi refers to a yogi who worships the supersoul in the Vishnu form. The Nirgarbha Yogi worships the supersoul without form. The Sagarbha and Nirgarbha Yogis are further categorized. One, Sagarbha Yoga Ruruksu. Garbha Yoga Ruruksu. Three, Sagarbha Yoga Rudha. Four, Nirgarbha Yoga Rudha. And five, Sagarbha Prapti Siddhi and Nirgarbha Prapti Siddhi. Right, so again, you have those levels of advancement. Riti, verses 154 to 64 now describe the 8 to 13 types of Atmaramas. These six Atmaramas are yogis who worship the Lord as Antayami on the Paramatma platform. 224, 156 to 163. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Some yogis think of the Lord within their hearts as measuring about 6 inches. The Lord has four hands in which he holds a conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower. Those who worship this form of Krishna within the heart are called Sagarbha yogis. 41. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.28. Quote, when one is in ecstatic love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's heart is melted by bhakti yoga and one feels transcendental bliss. There are bodily symptoms manifest, and due to eagerness, there are tears in the eyes. Thus, one is subjected to spiritual bliss. When the heart is overly afflicted, the meditative mind, like a fishing hook, is gradually separated from the object of meditation. 42. This is a quotation of Srimad Bhagavatam 3.28.34. By these three divisions of advancement in yoga, yoga ruruksu, yoga rudha, and prapti siddhi, there are six kinds of mystic yogis. Quote, For those saintly persons who wish to rise to the platform of yoga, perfect yogic perfection, the means consists of practicing the yoga system by strictly following its regulated principles and practicing yoga postures and breathing exercises. And for those who are already elevated to this platform, the means consists of maintaining mental equilibrium, sama, by rejecting all material activity and practicing meditation to keep the mind on the Supreme Lord. When a person is no longer interested in acting for sense gratification, when he renounces all material desire, he is said to be situated in perfect yoga, yoga rudha, 43. So one is very strictly following everything like that. So when he is no longer interested in acting on a material platform, then that's yoga rudha, right? That's the second platform. When a purified yogi associates with devotees, he engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service, being attracted by the Lord's transcendental qualities. The meanings of the words cha and api can be applied here. The meanings of the words muni and nirgranta are the same as before. The word ahai tuki is always applicable to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Urukrama. In this way, I've described 13 complete meanings of the Atmarama verse. Right, because so the seven before from the liberated, and then the six kinds of yogis.
So Maharaj, can we say that the first one were like Brahmavadi, and this one are yogi?
Yes.
It is a distinction.
So the first group is focused on the impersonal Brahman.
Yes.
And the second, you know, of six or seven, the second group then is what is focused on Paramatma.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. The 13 meanings of the Atmarama verse mentioned here are based on the following meanings for the word Atmarama. One, sadhaka, the neophyte performer. Two, Brahma Maya, one absorbed in thought of impersonal Brahman. Three, Prapta Brahma Laya, one who has actually attained Brahman perfection. Four, Mumukshu, one who desires liberation. Five, Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated in this life. Prapta Sorupa, one who has attained his original constitutional position. Seven, Nirgranta Muni, a completely liberated saint. Right. Yeah. Eight, Sagarbha Yoga Rurukshu, a yogi meditating on the four-handed Vishnu form and desiring yoga perfection. Nine, Nigarbha Yoga Rurukshu, one who is trying for perfection in impersonal meditation. Right, so through yoga, then he's trying to also go through this impersonal meditation. Then, 10, Sagarbha Yoga Rudha, one who has been elevated the platform of yoga perfection by meditation on the Vishnu form. 11, Nigarbha Yoga Rudha, an impersonal yogi on the platform of perfection. 12, Sagarbha Prapta Siddhi, one who has attained the perfectional stage by meditating on the Vishnu form. 13, Nigarbha Prapti Siddhi, one who has attained perfection by practicing impersonal meditation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. These 13 types of yogis and munis are called Shanta Bhaktas, for they render transcendent loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the neutral stage. So they, because it's said that's where they started, but then in coming in contact with the devotees, they take up devotional service. So then they're going to be in the position of the Shanta Bhaktas, because they're going to appreciate that the Lord's position on how he, you know, as we were describing before, that rasa of how he embraces everything, you know, as his own, right? I mean, he possesses everything. All shaktis are his. So that means everything in the creation is his. And so then how he, therefore, through his energies, pervades everything, and that appreciation of that, that is then the Shanta Rasa, how everything Krishna is, everything Krishna makes everything. So as we see, it's about the person, but the focus is on the impersonal aspect of that person. So the devotees, they have attraction, they have rati for Krishna, but the feature that they appreciate about him is how he's pervading everything, how he is, you know, all those qualities that we will say, you know, are the impersonal qualities. You know, he knows everything, he's all pervading, he's everywhere, you know, he's like that, he controls everything, he, you know, all these kind of qualities. So they're very much appreciating the impersonal aspect of the person. So they're worshiping the person, but they're appreciating those impersonal features, you know, that the Lord is doing those things. You know, it's like Narad Muni is then appreciating how Krishna is in all the palaces at once. And who can do that? You know, yogis can have 9 forms. There's 16,108. And those 9 forms are doing the same thing. Here's 16,108. Each one is doing something different. And so Narad Muni, by his mystic power, he can go and visit all these palaces. And then he sees in each one the Lord is doing something unique. So just how great the Lord is, how special the Lord is, how, you understand? So it's about the person, but it's about those being the absolute truth. That's the feature that they appreciate the most, you know? And so all other aspects can be appreciated very much, but they're all in that context of just how great and wonderful and fabulous he is. Does that make some sense? Oops. 224-165. Right, because there's no sense of possession here. Because Krishna is everything, and they're seeing how he's in that mood of possessing everything. And so we're also, you know, one of his energies. And so then that's their appreciation. Right. So we can see is that it's the basis of the other relationship. When you have this sense of possession, but it's still, you're based on what are you possessing? Somebody with wonderful qualities. Right. So there's wonderful qualities of the Lord. Then there's that sense of possession where then one wants to render some active service. While the other, they're just appreciating, and that's their devotion to the Lord. He's just appreciating how he's, you know, how special he is. 224-165. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The word Atma sometimes means the mind. In this case, the word Atmarama means a person who is satisfied by mental speculation. When such a person associates with a pure devotee, he takes the devotional service at the lotus feet of Krishna. Riti, verses 165 to 210. Describe the 14th through 19th Atmaramas. Verses 165 to 167 describe mental speculators, Mane, Ye, Rame. 68 to 173, those engaged in different types of endeavors, Yatna, Kriya. 174 to 185, those who are patient and sober, those who show perseverance, Dharaye, Ye, Rame. 186 to 199, those who are intelligent and learned scholars, Pandita, and those who apply their intelligence despite being illiterate and foolish, Murkha, both fall in the category of Bhuti Visesha. Right? Because whether they're a scholar or not, they're applying their intelligence in the Lord's service. And 200 to 209, those who are conscious of their eternal servitorship to Krishna, whether they are moving or non-moving being. Swabhava ye rame. This is confirmed to the in the purport to verse 210. So then you can see is that there's a gradual, you know, as I said, taking up all these different steps of the Atmaramas. Okay. Okay, so again, another 6, right? Because that first one, it was 6 plus 1. So the next, the yogis was 6. Now this group is 6. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, those who follow the path of great saintly mystic yogis take to the yogic gymnastic process and begin worshiping from the abdomen, where it is said that Brahman is located. Such people are called Shar Karaksha, which means that they are situated in the gross bodily conception. They are also followers of the rishi known as Aruna. Following his path, they observe the activities of the arteries. Thus, they gradually rise to the heart, where subtle Brahman, Paramatma, is situated. They then worship him, O unlimited Ananta. Better than these persons are the mystic yogis, who worship you from the top of their heads, beginning with the abdomen and proceeding through the heart. They reach the top of the head and pass through the Brahmarandra, the hole at the top of the skull. Thus, these yogis attain the perfectional platform and do not enter the cycle of birth and death again. Footnote 44. This is a quotation of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1087-18. Being attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna, such yogis become great saints. At the same time, not being hampered by the yogic process, they engage in unalloyed devotional service. Right? Because if they just have to sit and meditate, then they're not hampered by that. Now they can do practical service. 224, 168 to 169. Right? So this is the next group. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Atma also means endeavor. Being attracted by Krishna's transcendental qualities, some saints make a great endeavor to come to the point of rendering service to him. Quote, the transcendental position cannot be attained by wandering up and down from Brahmaloka and Satyaloka to Patalaloka. If one is actually intelligent and learned, he should endeavor for that rare transcendental position. By the force of time, one attains whatever material happiness is available within the 14 worlds, just as one attains distress in due course of time. But since spiritual consciousness is not attained in this way, one should... Okay, means that on the material platform, the results of your activities, you don't have to endeavor for. But since spiritual consciousness is not attained in this way, you should try for it. But in other words, on the material platform, you see these great, saintly persons and all that. They give up any endeavor to try to attain to any material positions or facility. Right? Because whatever is due to them will come to them anyway. Right? Means if I do work now, that's going to be my things in the future. But what's due to me, you know, at this present moment is coming from the past. So I don't have to endeavor for them. They will come anyway. Right? But spiritual life is not attained in this way. So one should try for it. So spiritual consciousness comes because being conscious of Krishna. So you're endeavoring, your willpower is applied in being absorbed in Krishna and then rendering service to please Krishna. Right? Srila Prabhupada. This verse was spoken by Narad Muni in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.18. Narad Muni was speaking to Vyasadeva, who was morose even after he compiled all the Vedic literatures. In this connection, Narad Muni advised Srila Vyasadeva to try to attain devotional service and nothing else. But otherwise, then he's come and he's written these great vast literatures and everything. And so, you know, wonderfully composed, they're still being studied today. But he's still not satisfied. So he's saying, no, devotional service is what you should apply for, because devotional service is actually the only thing worth endeavoring for. All other things, their endeavor is only if that endeavor is useful in Krishna consciousness. Right? Like you see, Parikit Maharaj, he's fully Krishna conscious. And he is engaging himself as a king in his kingdom and everything in Krishna's service. But when he sees he only has 7 days left, you know, and he wants to then come to the perfectional platform, then functioning as a king, that's not necessarily going to do it. So now he gives all that up and then just sits down next to the bank of the Ganga, and then discusses with the sages about then how to. So the conclusion is that devotion, pure devotional service, that's going to give the proper result. Does that make sense? So that's why, you should try for that. And then how much these other things are useful in engaging in that endeavor, then that's what's used. So it's not that, oh, I don't like this, so I'll drop this, and I like this, I'll keep this. No, it's a matter, is it useful for Krishna? You keep it. If it's not useful for Krishna, you don't. That's all. Yeah? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.